time for your SportsEdge.com sideline report with Todd Griffin. Talking sports and more here on 1580 103.3 WPKY and worldwide at WPKYonline.com. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
Good morning, everyone. The Sideline Report is on the air from 1035 West Main Street in Princeton. Good morning. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and your SportsEdge.com. In the studio with us this morning and back from last week, it's Ed Marlowe of the Edge Media Group. And Ed, good morning. Thanks for making the trip back over to Princeton this morning.
Good morning. I'm plugging in like 9 different sets of headphones. Hey, I found the right headphones, Todd.
All right, that's awesome. Now you can hear us.
Yeah, I have like 3 pairs of headphones wrapped around my neck. But no, we didn't get to finish our conversation from last week, and I know that this is the dead period as we recharge our batteries. Tom gave me my couple of football assignments from, you know, that's coming up for this next season, and I'm looking forward to 3 or 4 high school football games this year. And then, of course, I just got my email last night from Daryl Bird and Cat's Paws. Guess what? It's time to start preparing who the top 10 teams and players and some regional previews for high school basketball.
As wow, basketball already.
Already, yeah. Now, I turned in football previews about 3 weeks ago, and of course, things changed throughout the summer. And that's to be expected in any sport. You know, kids move and coaches change and all that sort of stuff, even at the last minute. But, you know, yeah, once everybody gets out of spring football, you kind of know what you got going into the fall. So it's a good time to get football talk going and then basketball talk as kids are, you know, teams are playing right now and going through their summers, trying to figure out what their rosters are going to look like, who's their big star and who maybe the X factor might be. And then who's the up and coming underclassmen who's starting to develop. You know, we'll get some of those storylines over the next month or so, and then school starts. I'm not trying to wish the summer away, but school starts 8 weeks from now for a lot of schools around here, so it's the summer's going by in a big hurry.
So Ed is in the studio with us this morning. We're going to get Scott Brown on the phone, and he'll join the conversation as well. Scott Brown of YourSportsEdge.com.
Oh, I was going to say Scotland Brown. Yeah, he's a wealth of knowledge, and he'll bring a lot to the table this afternoon.
Yeah, so we're going to have a big discussion here on the Sideline Report this morning about a whole lot of things going on in the sports world. So we're going to get to a break. Scott will join us. Ed's here. Stay with us as we roll on the Sideline Report here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Hello, this is Brad Harrelson with First Southern National Bank. There is little doubt that many are facing financial hardships in our country today. The statistics can be startling to look at, with as many as 70% of Americans having less than $1,000 saved for emergencies. While it can be easy to point fingers, the truth of the matter is that many folks lack the basic financial knowledge to avoid these pitfalls. To meet this need, First Southern has provided financial literacy resources so that the people of our communities can be better equipped to face the financial challenges life throws their way. We invite you to explore the Financial Literacy Resource Center at fsmb.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic Sports in Kentucky. Brought to you by the Kentucky High School Athletic Association and the Kentucky Athletic Administrators Association.
Today's society is dependent on electricity. The Princeton Electric Plant Board has what you demand for electricity anywhere, anytime, at the required level of quality. They work to ensure our community's power system has the resources in place for reliability today and into the future. Their work and commitment has reduced the frequency and duration of power outages with a reliability rate of 99.9%. Princeton Electric Plant Board, bringing our customers safe and reliable energy.
It's a proven fact. Going on vacation is really good for your health and happiness. But if money is holding you back from sandy beaches, the mountains, or relaxing by the pool, then you need to visit ABC Finance. They can help get you to that vacation destination you've been dreaming about. They offer loans from $500 to $15,000, and decisions are made quickly, usually within an hour. Your dream vacation is within reach with help from ABC Finance.
This is Todd Morris at the Hopkinsville ABC Finance location.
And this is Savannah Seymour at ABC Finance in Princeton.
Whatever location location is closest to you, we're here to help make the loan process quick, easy, and stress-free.
We can even consolidate all your loans into one easy payment.
No appointment is needed and walk-ins are welcome. We can take your application in person, over the phone, or apply online at abcfinanceonline.com.
At ABC Finance, you're more than a credit score. Helping you get a handle on your finances is what we do best.
Learn more about us at abcfinanceonline.com and be sure to like and follow ABC Finance on Facebook for daily money tips and community information.
All loans subject to normal credit approval.
We are back on the Sideline Report at 1580 103.3 WPKY. Again, good morning. To reset the stage, Ed Marlowe in the studio with us this morning from the Edge Media Group. And joining us now on the telephone this morning, Scott Brown of YourSportsEdge.com. Scott, good morning. How are you doing this morning?
Doing well, Todd. Thank you.
Excellent. You know, there was big news last night in baseball. If you didn't stay up late, there was a perfect game in the majors last night.
Yeah. Got home in time to watch the final inning of that one. 24th perfect game in history. So that, in the first one, I think, in 10 or 11 years. So that's always fun when you're able to get that notification and think, well, I'm not going to watch all nine innings. I'll just catch the last inning and get all the excitement.
Yeah, Ed, did you get a chance to catch any of the big perfect game last night by Domingo Germán of the New York Yankees?
So I saw, by the way, it's always great to hear Scott's voice. It's just a ray of sunshine here early in the morning, but I digress. No, I did see, I was also on my way home and watching Parks and Recreation last night, and then I got a ding on my phone. Hey, you know, ESPN's warning, like, hey, yeah, seven innings in, we're going through stuff. And no disrespect, he'd given up double-digit runs in his previous two outings. And it's, by the way, Scott's right, it is the first perfect game since, I believe, King Felix. Yeah, yep. In Seattle in 2012. Yeah. So it's one of those things where you just think, well, you know, somebody's going to give up a walk. You have so many near-perfect games in the majors. And it was against the lowly Athletics. So I do want to, you know, I think need to be fair there. The Athletics, I believe, are 20-61 now. On pace to be one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball history. But I say those things, and there's enough pop in that lineup. There really is, especially at the top. Seth Brown and company, they have some sticks. But to pitch a perfect game, it is nothing to take away from. And we should have another perfect game in history with Detroit, you know. With the call at first base. Yeah, yeah, the call at first base. We'll never forget that, actually.
Galarraga.
Yeah, it was. It was Galarraga. And it should have – that was such a beautiful pitched game, and he should have had that. And that was, he was out by not even close. Wasn't even close. If we had review then and replay, we had replay, but we didn't have, you know, you couldn't overturn a call.
Right.
But I say all those things not to take away from the New York Yankees. Nine strikeouts, nine innings. Can't get much cleaner than that.
Well, I wish we had instant replay and review back in the 1985 World Series. But
Don Dechinger, I knew that was going to come up. Whenever you talk about a bad call, every Cardinal fan brings up Don Dechinger in the 85 World Series.
No.
Well, here's my thing. Well, let me ask you this one, Todd. Are Cardinals fans going to forget this season?
Trying to. I mean, yeah, I think this season's probably shot. As a fan, you hold out hope and you think maybe we can get back into it, and the Central's not that good. Maybe you can make a run, but I just don't see it. I don't see the pieces there to make a run. So I think
Marmol's doing a great job.
Yeah.
Thanks, Cubs fan.
That's right.
I was trying to have a moment of silence there for Cardinals fans, because I don't want to necessarily stick a fork in the season either, because I'm a Reds fan. The Central, anytime a team gets a leg up, be it the Cubs or the Reds or the Pirates or Milwaukee or whoever is going to win it this year, you think, oh man, we might see a different color at the top. You know, we might see somebody else waving the pennant flag, you know, or the division crown. And then the Cardinals win 20 straight. And you're just like, why did I have hope? You know, it's always the Cardinals. And that's, like I said, you and I talked a little bit about this last week, and I'll just say it again just to reiterate. I don't despise the Cardinals as much as I despise the Yankees. But the Cardinals win all the time. And Scott and I have talked a lot about this in the office. The rest of us have been languishing either in the middle ground or the basement of the division for a long time. The Reds specifically have not been this good since 2012. Since we got, you know, Cardinals third baseman Scott Rolen in a Reds uniform. Since we had Broxton. Since we had a young Joey Votto. Like, we have not been this good in that long. You know, the Cubs have won a World Series in the last 10 years. At least they've embraced some of that success and washed away 100 years of pain. The Cardinals are just like, well, we're always here, you know. And Scott's just laughing in the background because, you know, he understands it too. We've all been languishing for so long, whereas the Cardinals, correct me if I'm wrong here, Todd, don't the Cardinals have tied for the most World Series wins? Is that right?
No, they're second. The Yankees have the most.
Right, right. And the Cardinals are second. Yeah. So
it's a distant second, but it's what, 27 for the Yankees now, 28, something like that, and 11 for the Cardinals. We're all a distant second to the Yankees.
That's true. I forgot. I totally forgot about the 20s and 30s. How could I do that? But murderer's row. Yeah. But you have so much success, and I mean, share. Just share. 2023 can belong to a different team. It's okay. It's okay, Todd.
Everybody has a down year.
Yeah, I don't think the Cardinals have been the same since Oscar Tavares was killed in the car crash, though. You know, that was their next guy. That was their next De La Cruz. That was their next O'Neill Cruz that the Pirates have. I mean, that was their guy that they thought, hey, this is going to be our franchise guy. And, you know, he was tragically killed in that car crash.
Right.
And I just don't think the franchise as a whole has rebounded since.
Yeah, he was the left-handed Albert Pujols.
He was.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something else too, and again, I still have a hard time wrapping my mind around it too. Is I still don't understand Schilt. How do you let Schilt go?
Well, he wasn't a yes man, and apparently management wants a yes man in the managerial position, and apparently that's what's wanted throughout the entire organization right now. I think that's a lot of the Cardinals' problems is that. Nobody's allowed to think for themselves, and then analytics come into the thing, and you know, everybody's got to have their analytics now to play baseball, and
everybody wants to be the next Billy Bean.
And I think the Cardinals were always kind of on the edge anyway. They were always trying to put together a team that was good enough to make the playoffs, but maybe not good enough to win the World Series, thinking that we're going to draw 3 million people regardless, we're going to make our money regardless. As long as we can be competitive, we're fine. And that's fine to live on that edge, but if everything goes wrong one year, like this year, then you end up where the Cardinals are, and that's in the basement. But
well, I mean,
everybody has a bad year.
Three months ago, the Reds, you know, experienced their worst attendance ever. You know, and we know infamously what was said last year. It's like, well, I don't, basically in layman's terms, so I don't care. You know, you're gonna what else are you gonna show up to in Cincinnati anyways?
Right.
And then we tanked and we traded everybody and we were awful. Thankfully, what we got back in return is a crapload of talent, and Spencer Steer is not getting talked about enough for how well he's playing in the corners. You know, you have Nick Senzel, who's come back healthy. You know, you have Ellie De La Cruz, who, of course, is stealing all the headlines right now, but then Jonathan India is rebounding back from that sophomore slump I talked about last week, and I say slump, he was injured. You know, he's healthy, leading the team. Now Votto's back, you know, and can DH. So it's just, you know, our pitching is still a little bit of a struggle. You have Andrew Abbott, who's come onto the scene and been absolutely terrific in the four hole. But, you know, we just took the series against Baltimore at Baltimore after losing the home series against Atlanta, which might win a World Series. And those were 2 one-run losses. So it's going to be fun.
But the beauty about sports is, and Major League Baseball and even down to high school sports, you never really know what's going to happen. The Cardinals could make a trade, pick up a starting pitcher, a guy in the bullpen, somebody comes up from AAA that surprises, and boom, you're a different team.
Oh, absolutely. No, I totally agree. That's why I never want to write anything off until about 30 games after the All-Star break, because at that point, that's when you're probably running out of time.
Yeah, Scott, that's what I've always loved about covering high school sports is when you go to the field or go to the gym or whatever, you never really know what you're about to see that night.
You really don't. And you're only as good as your next day starting pitcher. And I think Ann brought up a good, or yeah, you brought up a good point about the trade. I mean, especially in the Central Division, you know, everybody in that division is one or maybe two players away from winning that thing by five games. And it's just a matter of, you know, with everybody, you know, with the new expanded playoffs, everybody's in the playoffs. So you don't have as many sellers as you used to. And so it's kind of hard to find that big trade that you can swing at the deadline, because you still have 20 teams that are in it and who aren't going to be willing to sell because they need those pieces themselves.
Yeah, the wild card spots definitely change things as far as teams being buyers later into the season.
And that's kind of what they wanted. They wanted the interest for more people, you know, to be there. You know, you didn't want the Yankees, the Red Sox to have a 15 to 18 game lead at the All-Star break, and then all of a sudden the other five teams in that division are sellers and there's no interest. You know, and everybody's, you know, looking ahead to college football. And so now you've only got maybe five or six teams that are truly out of it by the All-Star break, instead of, you know, in the past it could have been as many as 15.
We're talking this morning with Scott Brown of YourSportsEdge.com. Ed Marlowe of the Edge Media Group with us as well. We need to get to a break, but we'll come back and have more of the Sideline Report right after this. Stay with us here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Now's the time to plan your future. Contact Woodman Life Craig Smiley, 1009 West Main Street, Princeton, 270-365-6111.
Your WeatherEdge Weather Center forecast, an overnight low of 69, mostly clear skies. By this afternoon, we're under a heat advisory from the National Weather Service, mostly sunny with a high of 94. Heat indices will be in the triple digits. There's also a slight chance of showers and storms going into the lunch hour. By Thursday night, another chance for showers and thunderstorms arrives after midnight, partly cloudy, low around 74. Then on Friday, that heat advisory continues, mostly sunny and hot with a high near 99, but also a chance for some pop-up showers and storms after lunch. But back to right now, mostly clear with a low around 69 by this afternoon, mostly sunny and 94.
Hey, sports fans, you wouldn't want your favorite sports team to play only offense or defense. When it comes to insurance, why settle for someone that can handle only your auto policy? At Goodwin Insurance, they take care of all your insurance needs. You deserve someone that provides comprehensive coverage and is working alongside you in your community. Contact them today for a quote.
Goodwin Insurance of Princeton, Cadiz, or Marion, or online at insurewithgoodwin.com.
For a limited time, take advantage of savings on select new Case IH disc mower conditioners and balers with no money down, no interest for 60 months. With easy operation, Case IH hay tools deliver the flexibility and durability your operation demands. Hurry in. Offer ends June 30th, 2023. Stop by H&R AgriPower in Hopkinsville, Kentucky today and set yourself up for greater productivity in 2023 with a great deal on the hay tools that work as hard as you do.
Back on the Sideline Report here at 1580 103.3 WPKY. Ed Marlowe of the Edge Media Group in the studio with us. Scott Brown of YourSportsEdge.com joins us on the phone this morning here on the show, and we appreciate them taking time to be on the show with us. And guys, I saw a story last week talking about sports media and the way it's changed through the years, and it kind of got me to thinking, how has it changed since when I started? And of course, Ed, I know you're the young pup of the group, and you know, back in the day, Scott and I had to chisel the stories onto stone.
Don't you guys still chisel stories on the stone?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, Scott. Yeah, what do you, Scott, you know how to, you know Morse code, don't you? Telegraph, don't you?
Yes, that's exactly right. We, you know, and if it was breaking news, you would send up smoke signals.
But I did want to ask the question to both of you, and Ed, we'll start with you. How have you seen the coverage change since you got into the sports game?
I think the first time, and I want to make this point right now for listeners, all three of us, you, Todd, myself, and Scott, are probably the only people in the News Edge in the News Edge group that fully comprehend and understand those long nights of the newspaper world. You know, really, all three of us have a ton of newspaper experience combined. It's almost 70 years if you really think about it. Not to age us, but it's just it is what it is.
If you've never written a story on the Parkway at 1 o'clock in the morning on the way back from someplace, I don't know if you really know what it's like to work it.
Or in the parking lot of a McDonald's because it's the only place you could get Wi-Fi.
Right, for sure. That's totally accurate. But you know, I say these things, and I'm not going to poo-poo on newspapers at all because I think what I've seen the most change in over and my first newspaper article printed in 2010, I think I was 25 years old trying to figure out if I even wanted to be a journalist, and I was working for the Murray State News. And since then, I would say, and it sounds so easy to say, but I would say the digitizing of production, period. Like we can say all day long that print media this and print media that and print media is doing these things wrong and these things right, but it's the actual just desire for digital information, tweets, video, high resolution photography, quality photography, photo galleries, interactive media, multimedia, families, children, student athletes, college players, even adults in the mid-30s, mid-40s that are, you know, in the upper echelons of professional sports are seeking a digital presence. They want an Instagram post. They want a Twitter feed. They want constant updates all the time, breaking news, engaging video. Those are probably the biggest changes, whereas maybe even to me 10, 15 years ago, a well-written newspaper article was enough. I don't know if that's enough now. I think it needs to be part of the formula. I don't think it's enough now. That's probably the most succinct way I can put what change I've seen just in the last 10 years.
Yeah, Scott, what are the biggest changes for you?
Yeah, well, the big change now is used to, you know, you would go and cover something and your desire was to make sure that it was better. I mean, you want it to be better than maybe the newspaper or the radio station, you know, that I wouldn't say you were a competitor with, but, you know, if for me, you know, I wanted it to be better than maybe what people saw in the New Era, or I wanted it to be better than what people saw somewhere else. Now, the competition is social media. You know, you go to a track meet, and, you stay at a track meet all day long, and you take over 1,000 pictures, you get 40 video clips, and when it's over with, you get in the car and you get on Facebook and somebody's done posted video of so-and-so's win in the hurdles that's got 500 views before you've even left the site. And so social media has kind of made everybody a reporter now. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I think it's great when you want to show off your kids' thing or whatever. But used to, you were the sole source of information. And now, you know, you're going up against people who are, you know, they're writing a recap and posting it on the school page, or they're taking, you know, everybody's got a camera now and they're taking pictures. And so the change now is coming up with a way to where what you have is unique and different than what people have already seen. And so that's the big challenge now is how do I put together a video that is different than what people have seen or better than what people have seen, or, you know, how do I craft this recap or interview this kid to where people are learning something for the first time?
Well, and you brought up a good point there about, you know, people getting stuff up quickly, and I was never one of those I've got to be first kind of guys. I'm kind of like you. I'd rather be the better guy than the first guy, but at some point, if you don't get something up pretty quickly, you've missed your window. So that's one way to me that things have changed is that
the window's shorter.
Right. There were times in the past where you could go to a game on a Monday night, write that story on Tuesday, have it in your paper on Wednesday, and everything was fine. But if you sit on that story now for a day, you've missed the chance to inform people.
Well, and
you've missed your window. Yeah.
Yeah, no, totally. And I want to parlay something really quick off of both of you guys. And again, I'm not trying to sound elitist at all, but I worked really hard for my journalism degree. and I know that both of you guys had a lot of education as well. I totally am for citizen journalism. I am pro citizen journalism. The amount of information that I have learned from breaking news, from outlets, from individuals, from organizations who do send press releases and are active on Facebook and do send messaging out. Hey, we've got this going on. We've got this going on. Fish fry, you know, church bulletins. Those types of things are extremely important. And anybody that's media or digital savvy understands those things. However, I do think there's an amount of decorum, a modicum of skill that's needed in journalism. And I think a lot of that comes down to just proper writing skills. I am never going to let go of the Associated Press training that I learned, regardless of how much it's, you know, you can treat me like a pinata and try to beat it out of me. It's staying in me. That piece of candy stays with me. And that Associated Press training that I went through in college and how to meet a deadline effectively and what a lead sentence means in the radio world and in the newspaper world, those are the types of things that, you know, writing in pyramid format. If I write from most important information to least important information and somebody's reading that on the radio or the newspaper, they know when they can stop. And those are the types of things that maybe the general layman doesn't necessarily comprehend in the public. And again, I'm not trying to sound elitist. There are plenty of great writers and great reporters and citizen journalists out there who are going to continue to do great things. But I'd like to think myself, you, Todd Griffin, you, Scott Brown, have a decent amount of training that, you know, some of our material is going to be really important, really well thought out, really well organized and planned for, and then shared so that the community can enjoy it and embrace it, be it good news or bad news.
Well, one of the biggest things that I've seen since I started at WPKY the first time back in the 80s and 90s, Ed, we didn't have a computer. Not a one.
Yeah,
the idea of putting something on a website or streaming social media, that was completely foreign.
It's still a relatively new concept in the scheme of human history. I mean, computers are still very much our first computer, I believe, was ENIAC, you know, that took up a whole room. But if you think about when ENIAC first, you know, was fired up on the floor and was the size of, I think it was like, seriously, like, I don't want to guess, but it was just, it took up a whole room and could tabulate basic binary function to today where we have 5G coming to our phones.
Yeah.
We're still in a relatively short time span of how long computers have been a part of the journalistic integrity. And the open source of information, while it's been a great asset to improve journalism, you still have misinformation. You still have improper, you know, protocol. And those types of things matter to me, and they always will.
Yeah, Scott, it seems to me like we almost write for people's telephones anymore. We almost produce content for people to access it and to utilize it on their phones.
Well, you know, one thing that I pay a lot of attention to at yoursportsedge.com are the analytics. I like to see what time of day people are on looking at our site. I like to see what they're looking at. And during a weekday, 90% of the people who are on the site are doing it from their phone. They're doing it from a mobile device, and only 8 to 10% are on a desktop computer. On the weekends it's even higher, and I thought, oh, that's because people aren't at work. You know, a lot of people look at the web pages while they're at work, and so you kind of have to pay attention to that, because if that's where 90% of the people are, you know, getting their information is from a phone, then you kind of have to be cognizant of that and make sure that your layout is phone friendly.
Well, Scott, I think you're a lot like me. I think we're like information guys. We try to throw out all the information we can. And at a newspaper, you are always trying to make your stories longer and more informative. I'm not sure that people use content that way anymore. I think the average person doesn't want a huge, long story to read through. They want the nuts and bolts. They want the score and, you know, who the top guys were and how it affects them, and then they want to move on to the next story.
Well, I think instead of writing one long story, I think you have to chop it up into little, you know, nuggets or whatever, and say, here's your game recap, and then do a separate story on, you know, what the attendance numbers are looking like. And then you may do a separate story on the fact that the game was played on artificial turf, the new turf that the team got. I mean, you know, used to, that would be all in one recap. But I think now it's a matter of, instead of one recap, you do about 2 to 3 stories because of the attention span that people have. And, you know, and a lot of it is, you know, all you have to do is go to Facebook and realize people don't read as much as they used to. You know, you can write a Pulitzer Prize winning story and somebody's going to say, what was the final score of the ball?
That's true.
Well, it's in the recap. You know, well, you know, what's their record? Well, it's in the recap. You know, read. And I think that's, you know, that has a lot to do with, you know, the fact that the longer you write, they're going to their attention span kind of wanes a bit.
Well, and what do we do in the future, Ed, to keep people's attention and to keep them reading sports? Because I mentioned the article I saw last week that talked about, you know, the change in the sports coverage landscape. It says that younger folks don't do sports. They don't watch as much sports. So obviously they don't follow as much sports. They don't use content the way the older generation does. So how do we keep those people involved in sports and, as a byproduct, keep reading our work?
Well, I'm gonna say something that's probably gonna get me in a little bit of trouble. That's fine, but someone's lack of an attention span is not really my problem. I have a job to do, and so that's the way that I look at it. And I say that it's not my problem, and then I'll get a phone call tomorrow saying, "Hey, Ed, no one's reading your stuff." So I get that, you know, and that's something that, you know, that I have to think about, and that's a battle within myself. And you know, I've had to, Scott Brown has been the number one individual, Tammy Hancock being the 1.5 individual, telling me, hey, instead of it being 4.5 minutes long, why don't you give us 3:45? You know, why don't you give us 3:30, 3:20? And, you know, one of these days I'm just going to give a 15-second news story and everybody's going to be like, that's the greatest thing you've ever written. And so, you know, I joke, but it's true. And I get from the attention, the amount of time that it takes to digest media, even quickly on your phone, you know, you have to make time. And if you're not going to make time, then, you know, it's hard to do. The one thing that I will say that I think is a major plus, and it's part of the reason we're seeing it across all sorts of media. Why are we seeing bookstores? We all thought Amazon was going to, we're going to put brick and mortar bookstores out of business. Why is vinyl? Vinyl sold more than CD last year. If you don't believe me, look it up. Vinyl records sold more than CDs did in 2022.
And well, they sound better.
They do sound better. Yeah. People do prefer, even that's more difficult, though, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
It's more difficult to open up a book. Why is Barnes & Noble and Books A Million and, you know, and all these different bookstores, why are we back? Why are we going back to an older medium? It's because it was quality. So it's a slight counterbalance, because I totally agree with both of you guys in the sense of people just want digestible nuggets. They want a charcuterie board of, oh, I want these strawberries and these olives and a little bit of pepperoni, and I'll put this all together and that's going to be my dinner, and that's how I'm going to ingest the sports media world. But I would also argue that people prefer an organic report. People that were in person, where they interviewed someone, maybe not necessarily the most successful athlete in that evening or that day, but someone that brings an energy and a focus to the story you're trying to tell. I think the best example I have of that last year was Mayfield Fort Campbell football. And granted, I had a very unfortunate situation to walk into in which Mayfield has experienced this tornado. Princeton knows it all too well in the same respects. Fort Campbell was going to lose that football game. We all knew it. We know. Why would I go to that game? Because Fort Campbell brought scarves and hats to Mayfield in a show of solidarity with their brethren, and then they lost the football game 50-0 by halftime. No one read that story because it was a 50-0 football game. They read that story because a football team showed respect to another football team.
Todd, you're good at telling stories like that. Josh, Tom, Scott, when you bring those types of stories to the forefront in any type of reporting, but especially sports reporting, that is what's going to keep people's attention. It is organic storytelling that will absolutely galvanize not just a community, but any reader that's looking for a good story.
Well, and I talked about when I started that I couldn't comprehend the way that news and sports is consumed today. You know, I couldn't think about, well, everybody will have a phone in 30 years and that's how they'll get it. We'll all have a website. We'll all have our social media. But it has gone from where, when I worked at the newspaper here, it was Wednesday and Saturday. If something happened on Wednesday, you didn't report on it until Saturday. If it happened right. Saturday, it didn't get in the paper to Wednesday. Well, social media and the internet and everyone's telephone, everyone has now become a daily news source. So, to me, it's advantageous that all this has happened. We, from a sports standpoint, I think a lot of reporting organizations just have to figure out the best way to use it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I totally agree with that.
Scott, tell us what we got going on over at yoursportsedge.com right now.
Right now it's voting for the fan faves, and just like when the big media votes for the MVP, it's subjective. It could be however you want it to be. It could be you're the person because they're your relative, but your kid because you go to church with them, because they had the best season, they have a clever name, whatever the reason you vote, they're your fan fave. And so that's going on, and the response is off to a really good start. Our voting is was tracking ahead of last year, the last report that I got. So that's pretty good. And a lot of thought goes into creating the ballot for that, and it's hard. There's some good kids that probably deserve it but get left off. You have to draw the line somewhere, and so that's the number of nominees determines that. And so just go to yoursportsedge.com and cast your vote early and often in that.
Well, and we're also counting down our top Max's moments from the previous school year.
We are. It's got a obviously heavy Lyon County feel to it this year because of the season that they had. The number one Max's moment may surprise some people a little bit, and so there's an interesting mix of kids and schools that are involved in that, and even sports. There's a couple in there, like the number 20 was a powerlifting Max at this moment. I mean, that's interesting in itself. So that's always proved to be fun to count those down and see which ones are the most watched Max's moment from the last athletic year. And so I think today we're down to number 13, and we'll see, get into the top 10 here before long and see who's number one.
We're talking this morning with Scott Brown from YourSportsEdge.com. Ed Marlowe of the Edge Media Group with us as well. Need to get to a quick timeout here on the Sideline Report, but we'll come back and have more right after this here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Charter Senior Living Community in Hopkinsville offers the best in personalized care and memory care services. Their community provides a unique and comfortable living environment tailored to each individual's needs.
Your WeatherEdge Weather Center forecast. We've got an overnight low of 69 degrees, mostly clear skies. By this afternoon, mostly sunny, high of 94, and a heat advisory from the National Weather Service as high heat indices are expected in western Kentucky. Triple digits, potentially reaching 110. By Thursday night, a 20% chance of showers and thundershowers. Partly cloudy skies, low around 74. And then on Friday, it's going to be mostly sunny and hot with a high near 99. The heat advisory is expected to expire Friday evening. But back to right now, we've got a mostly clear sky with a low around 69, and by this afternoon, it's going to be mostly sunny and a high near 94.
At Tricios, they're ordering it your way. How would you like to have a vehicle built just for you? Little things are important, like rich colors, big screens and displays, almost like watching TV. Exteriors with beautiful style and powerful engines that respond to the lightest touch on the accelerator. It's time to get what you want. Order your new ride and feel the thrill when you drive off the lot. Tricios in Princeton is the one-stop shop for everything your vehicle needs. For more information, visit tricios.com. That's tricios.com.
Hi, I'm Rachel Chandler with Farmers Bank. Did you know your money can make more money when you level up to an interest-bearing checking account?
Grow your balance at Farmers Bank with our unique Plus checking account featuring a 2.5% annual percentage yield on balances up to $15,000.
Unique Plus is a win-win local banking option. Call or visit us today and let our expert bankers show you how to get the most out of your deposits. Farmers Bank. Live unique. Bank unique. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580, 103.3 WPKY, and we appreciate you tuning in this morning. Ed Marlowe of the Edge Media Group in the studio with us, Scott Brown of YourSportsEdge.com, and WKDZ Radio with us on the phone this morning. And Ed, we were talking a little bit briefly earlier about how close we are to fall sports and even winter sports, basketball, you know, all those sports in the news right now, and it won't be very long until we actually have sports heating back up again to cover.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, the dead period is, I mean, I would argue that the dead period might not be long enough. I would also argue, that there needs to probably be another week for the dead period, but I also understand the ramp up, getting, you know, August, the second week of August gets here very quickly through the summer. But I would also argue that some organizations, some school systems don't necessarily observe the dead period as effectively as others. So, you know, everybody's trying to look for an advantage and a leg up going into the fall sports. And I get that, you know, as someone who's long covered it and now just gets to observe it frequently and pay attention to kind of some of the top headlines each week. You know, it is interesting to see how, you know, the fall really just crescendos into what usually is a special winter. And that's all, you know, I mean, nothing surprises me anymore. You know, that's something that's probably changed. I'll mention that, just kind of bring us back to the front. That's probably changed just as much in the last 10 years. Todd, how many sports stories are you writing during the summer now?
A lot more than we used to.
Right.
Although this summer has kind of pulled back a little bit, but yeah, there used to be about a 2.5 to 3 month break over the summer from a sports standpoint. Now there's maybe 2 or 3 weeks,
and that's what I'm snapping about. Like it's not that, it's a really quick turnaround. If it's not summer basketball, it's fishing. If it's not fishing, it's football. If it's not football, someone's off at a camp.
Golf
is really busy now during the summer, and that's no disrespect. I'm not trying to, a job is a job, and I'm not trying to take anything away from that. I've had that job before, and it's good to have content. Now you have OVL baseball in Western Kentucky. You've got, there's some, you know, summer league stuff. There's, and we say this, it used to be just American Legion Baseball, and that still exists.
Yeah.
So it's just one of these things now, and I know Scott's observed it in his 30 years of sports reporting. There are a lot more sports headlines right now in the summertime as opposed to maybe even 10 to 15 years ago.
Sports is year-round now.
Go ahead and talk about that, Scott, because you're exactly right.
It's year-round. You know, there are no seasons anymore. I mean, basketball ends in March, and they're right back out in June and playing the whole month of June. They'll play in July, and then they'll take a bit of a break, and then they're back at it in October. You know, football has spring practice, and they're doing workouts in June. And then July, it's all 7-on-7 work for them. And then you get into the season, which runs from August to October. I mean, there's no break anymore, and I understand the need to get better, and I understand that, but at some point the kids need a break, and I've seen kids suffer from burnout a bit because they go year-round, and then when it comes time for their senior year, they're not playing sports anymore. And people say, well, how come so-and-so's not playing sports? Because that's all they've done for the last 7 years, and they're tired and they need a break. And I think that had they gotten that break earlier, that maybe they'd still be playing.
I think it's a fair middle ground. I think that's right. I think that's a very fair point. Nobody's asking for a 3-month break. I mean, but those days are long gone, you know. And I don't think any of us are ever going to ask for a break again, you know, following, you know, COVID protocol. That was a rude awakening of on how important human interaction is, really. And I'm not trying to take anything away from that. COVID was a very serious global pandemic, you know, taken very seriously by Western Kentuckians and throughout the Commonwealth and the entire world. But I say those things that illuminated the need to be together. I think now we have it. So I'm not trying to complain, but there is definitely a time where maybe the dead period should be a little bit longer and a little bit more of a break for kids and coaches alike.
Well, we don't have enough time to go down this rabbit hole, but we're still kind of seeing the effects in sports of COVID because kids got an extra year of high school. They got an extra year of college. You know, that kind of affected the groups behind them. So, you know, we're still kind of seeing the effect of COVID in the sports world.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're starting to see maybe the wave of that change a little bit and get a little bit softer. But you're not wrong. I mean, take a look at high school recruitment. I think any high school coach would tell you in any sport, be it tiddlywinks all the way up to football, they'll tell you, hey, college coaches are looking to get older, faster, quicker. Their contracts are ending sooner, you know, and so now they don't have time to develop a high school athlete. So what's the best thing they can do? Go get a JUCO athlete. Yeah. Go get an NAIA athlete. Go get a D3, D2, D1 athlete at a lower conference and get them up because they've already been through it. They already know what's going on. They're a little bit older. I need a 20-year-old, not a 17-year-old. And that's a hard thing to say because 30 years ago, we're not having this conversation. It sounds like a foreign language. But today, it's a very stark reality.
Hey, Ed, we're out of time again.
Well, that's stupid. Why don't we just make more time?
It's 9 o'clock, man. We got to go. Scott, appreciate you coming on the show this morning. Anything else you want to add before you get out of here this morning?
No, just be sure and go vote in the fan faves. It's presented by First Financial Bank, and that'll be wrapping up in about a week and a half.
Yeah, we talked about sports coverage, and if you want your sports coverage, just go to yoursportsedge.com. Can we all agree
easy
on that?
Easy enough.
Yeah, there we
go. Yes.
No, I absolutely. Easy enough. Totally agree.
All right. Thanks, Scott. Thanks, Ed. Appreciate you coming over.
Yeah, thank you, and you just have to have me on next Thursday to be fine.
We'll get you back in here quick enough. You know, you've got to go after Gary Goodacre's record of 97 appearances.
There's no way I'm going to be able to beat that. That's like a SNL. Yeah, that's like Alec Baldwin and Dana Carvey and Steve Martin and Billy Crystal. There's no way. Yeah. There's no way I could make 97.
No, I think he was exaggerating just a smidge.
No, Gary's a mathematician. He didn't exaggerate at all. There's no way it has to be 97 or he wouldn't say that.
That's Ed Marlowe of the Edge Media Group. Again, Scott Brown from YourSportsEdge.com joining us. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and YourSportsEdge.com. Thanks a lot for being with us on the Sideline Report this morning here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
WPKY Princeton.